This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site, did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Tass. Paul Gover is a motoring writer. Some might call him a doyen. And Paul writes for a number of publications and platforms. And most recently, actually, his previous time on the show, he talked to us about the Frankfurt Motor Show and potentially stealing a car ashtray. But this week he's going to talk to us about a couple of things. One, about the state of the car market, because I think we're in the ninth month of car sales decline, but about the Bathurst 1000 race. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning to you from Doyenville.
Doyenville.
I'm changing the name of my house to Doyenville.
Oh,
Or Doyen Mansion, perhaps.
So, the Bathurst race originally started at Phillip Island, and I think the first race was 1960. Is that right, Paul?
That's about right. And so, I think it was won by Mercedes Benz.
Yeah, and you're actually right. And the second one was won by a Vauxhall Cresta.
Yeah.
So we're
great cars.
So we're coming up to the 70th anniversary. It used to be called the Gallagher 500.
Cigarette brand.
A cigarette brand. Then there was the Hardy Ferrodo, which was predominantly brake parts. It's now just...
But with asbestos.
That's right. Now it's called what?
The Super Cheap Bathurst 1000. So it's now 1,000 kilometres, sponsored by Super Cheap. And it's the same as it's always been. It's a car fest for... Bogans of all types.
Now, it gets, I think this race, the crowd on race day, or is that a combination crowd, but it was about 101,000 thereabouts?
Yeah, something like that. They claim a one-day sporting record in Australia. I don't know how they do that, because I still think AFL and cricket would beat it. But it's still holding up very well, and what it's become is a place where people go and camp.
Yes.
And stay for a week. Unlike the MCG, you know, for the AFL Grand Final, where people just sort of arrive and then go home. These are people who typically set up on the Tuesday or Wednesday, and they stay right through till Sunday night.
So it's like a festival then?
Yeah.
It's like a festival.
Yeah, exactly correct.
I'm assuming there's entertainment and food and...
Oh, yeah, just the crowd's entertaining.
Yeah, the crowd's entertaining. There's no... at a lot of the races, next weekend... there's a race up here on the Gold Coast, and Kiss are playing. So that's the sort of entertainment crowd they do actually have. But no, at Bathurst, it's just...
Who's playing?
Kiss.
Oh, I mean, the original Kiss. They're still around.
Yeah, they're coming here on their seniors card.
Jeez.
they'll meet up with Macca on the tram down in Melbourne at some point. Perhaps not. But what's interesting about that race is it's still unbelievably passionate, and it's still Ford versus Holden, even though, you know, the cars have got nothing to do with anything in the showroom, really. Holden are racing a ZB Commodore. The ZB Commodore is a front-wheel drive, four-cylinder family car. The one they race at Bathurst is a rear-wheel drive Chevrolet-powered V8.
So, Paul, I want to take you back to your previous comments about Kiss. Is there something about the choice of live entertainment and the demographics, the social demographics that participate in this event? Could you talk to us a bit more about that?
Well, I mean, the sort of the demographic of the people who are there, they're just working, ordinary working class people. I went up on the mountain. You know, there are lots of people who take their annual holidays, but they go camping. You know, they're not your five-star you know, stay in a hotel people. These are just ordinary Aussies. And that's one of the reasons why the race still resonates, even though the cars are not production cars. The people who are there are just ordinary Aussies who like, in, you know, who like cars, who like motoring, who like to have a weekend away. And they're the same sort of people. The sort of bands that you see at these sort of things are, you know, your average rock type bands. You know, if they could probably have one band of choice for supercars, it would be Aka Daka, without a doubt. That's actually the demographic, and that's the sort of people that it cuts across. And it's not necessarily they're all in their 60s. They can be, you know, there are lots of kids there who still enjoy that sort of.
I've been to see Aka Daka live myself here in Melbourne, and what struck me was that I was, even at my age, I was the average age group.
Yeah.
I represented the average age group. It actually attracted a broad range. So it's a very different event to the Grand Prix here in Melbourne then.
It has nothing in common with the Grand Prix. Some of the people who go to Bathurst would go to the Grand Prix, but they would go for maybe one day only. And they would mostly be there to watch the V8s because they also race on that program. But they're not there to see Lewis Hamilton and Formula One and spend $2,500 for a day in the Paddock Club or anything.
Did you fly up on the Sunday, Paul?
Yeah, I did. I flew up on the Sunday morning, but I've been going to the race now since 1982 in one form or another. Yes, you're lucky. You're right that I was spoiled and I got to fly up on the Sunday morning because I'd been doing car of the year judging with the car sales organisation.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that in a sec. So there is actually a big corporate component at this race, isn't there? So
There is still a big corporate component, but it's not the same sort of corporates. It's car industry corporates, whereas when you go to the Grand Prix, the corporates who are there could be it's a major entertainment thing for corporates. They could be banks, they could be finance companies. You know, there's a very broad range of the sort of corporates you get at the Grand Prix, whereas the ones who are at Bathurst are pretty much related to the car industry.
But I think you and I were talking during the week, and I actually had lunch with someone on the Monday that had seen you on the Sunday. You had you saw John Borghetti there, CEO of Virgin.
Yes, but he's not your average CEO. You know, he's a car head too. He was telling me he's got a dozen cars.
Yeah.
So he's a bit of a car. He's a car collector. He's also quite good friends with a guy called Ryan Story, who runs the team that won the race. So I've got a great picture of the two of them embracing after the victory. Although John is supposed to be agnostic about these things because he's now on the board actually of Supercars, so he's helping to guide them with their future plans. So it's interesting. You meet a huge cross section of people at these sort of events. You know, people you haven't seen 20 years. A good friend of mine who spent a lot of his corporate life with the Audi organisation was up there, a guy called Peter Roofley, who's now retired.
Oh, yes.
You know, so there's, you know, and Peter's, he was there because he enjoys it. Also, for him, it's a chance to network and catch up with people who you've known in the industry for a long time. So it's an unbelievable cross-section, you know. You go to Bathurst and you expect one thing, and invariably something else completely different.
Now, there is another interesting thing about V8 supercars. One of the teams is actually owned and run by a lady, isn't it?
Yes, Betty Comenko, who you have a bit of a history.
Why are you surprised by that, Macca?
Oh, look, the role, both as drivers, as engineers, mechanics, let alone owners of women in motorsport, is pretty small. And as Paul says, Betty and I have a long history. But, you know, she runs a V8 supercar team with some success.
They had one of the best 1,000 years ago, so, you know, not too bad. We're getting to be a growing number of women. One of the future team bosses is a woman called Jessica Dane, whose father, Roland Dane.
Oh, Roland's, yeah.
Yeah, so, but Jess is one of the toughest people I've ever met. She is going to be a humongous force in motorsport.
Yeah.
She's on all sorts of boards out of Europe. She's doing stuff with, you know, globally, and she's also very strongly into the organisation which is trying to get women into motorsport. I remember once I sent her a text message. They were winning a race, and I could see her on the TV, and I sent her a text message and said, you're winning, you could smile. she sent back, "I'm a Dane, we don't smile." So she's tough as nails. But, yeah, there are getting to be more women in motorsport. There are now women crew chiefs. There's a woman in Europe who helped, well, who led an Audi team that won the Le Mans 24-hour race. And you know, there aren't very many women in who are actually race car drivers. The only one who was in the Bathurst race the other day was Simona De Silvestro, who's actually from Switzerland, who reinvented her career here in Australia. But I think it's going to change. One of the most successful race car drivers in America over the last 30 years, a guy called Hurley Haywood, who actually outed himself last year. He'd been gay, obviously, for his whole life, but he finally wrote a book and said, you know, these days it doesn't make a difference. Back when he started racing, if he told people he was gay, he wouldn't have had a career. But he was convinced, you know, he was interviewed by a young bloke and said, "I have to set an example." And I thought that was fantastic that he's coming out in the book and now openly trying to help people.
Well, while we're speaking of diversity, wasn't there also a car racing driver who was a cross-dresser?
Well, no, a motoring journalist, Peter Werrett.
Oh, it was a motoring... I apologise. I thought he was a driver.
Yeah.
No. Well, actually, he raced at Bathurst back in the day. He raced Alfa Romeos and some other stuff up there. And actually was quite a successful race car driver, you know, in the junior ranks, but became a media personality through the ABC.
Yeah, there you go. I want to change the subject slightly, if I can. Earlier on the piece, Macca talked about...
Was his name Peter Wear It? That was a listener message.
He famously was bald and used to wear a race cap and a headline. They launched a Mitsubishi that was named after him, the Peter Werrett Special, and the headline in the Daily Telegraph was, "If the cap fits, wear it."
Right.
Yes, that's where it's come from, wear it,
I wanted to take us back to a comment that Macca made just very early in the introduction, and that was about declining car sales. Can you shed any light on that comment? What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what's going on is a number of things. People are not confident in the economy. What a surprise there. And so they're keeping their money in their pockets. But also for the last couple of
years... You'll have to stop walking.
Stand still.
I am standing still. I don't know what's happening. For the last 5 years or so, the car industry has been forced cars to people with all sorts of discounts and things, and this year they'd stopped doing that because they realised there's no money in it and there's no future in it, and so basically car sales are down, and they're down quite catastrophically for some brands.
And also, Paul, one of the impacts there is one of the fallouts from the Banking Royal Commission, and the overwhelming majority of car finance in Australia is actually provided by banks, finance companies. That's been a lot of the fallout in terms of responsible lending. Now, I know that's a term not familiar to most banks, but that's also had a big impact that...
You are correct, yeah.
You know, people aren't able to access the finance at the level they once did. But also, you know, I think there is a lot of caution in the economy. What are the MDs and such people at the car companies telling you? Because a lot of their projections are pretty... dismal about the state of the market.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, basically all of them are saying that it's down this year, it's going to be down again next year. They're basically, a lot of them in an open panic. Hyundai, which made its name with the drive-away pricing and every one of their prices ends in 990, they've decided they're going to stop doing that because they've just realised there's not a lot of future, and you actually have to have a brand that's built on integrity and following. So that they're changing their marketing. You know, I've been with three or four managing directors in the last 2 weeks, and not one of them is positive about what's going to happen. But all of them are looking to reinvent what they do and have a business case that's built on the fact that people buy their products not because of the price, not because there's a deal, not because they can get cheap finance, but because they're buying a car for the right reason. Now, Holden, in contra, and I was talking to the marketing director of Holden at Bathurst, who basically said, "Can't get much worse from here. We're seeing that things improve." But, you know, basically what's happening is we're having a retreat to stability, if you like, companies that you can trust. But even those ones, Subaru and Mazda, are both in trouble at the moment.
You're painting a pretty grim picture, Paul.
Oh, it is a grim picture. But the fact of the matter is they've been force-feeding the fat kid on donuts for 5 years and suddenly they've realised they need to do something else.
I've got a vision there.
Yeah, I know his name too.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is...
So where's the leadership on this issue then, Paul?
Well, I think there's any leadership. I think they're just all in a panic, right? So the problem is they've all sat down and gone, "Oh, what are we going to do about this?" They're not actually taking any leadership. They've just been faced up with. They've just faced reality that automotive industry obesity is a fact, and they need and all of them are now suffering, and so they're trying to cut their cloth a different way. A lot of them have gone back to the factories, and remember that all of the factories are overseas now, and said, "Stop sending us cars. We can't keep force-feeding them." So one of the things the car industry does is they have a factory in, let's call it Germany, and the factory says, "We're going to build 1 million cars this year because that's what our profitability is based on and that's what my bonus is based on, and that's employing the staff and helping the unions in Germany." And then they go, "Australia, your share of that is 2.3%, whatever that number is. That's the cars you're taking."
Yeah.
And that's another problem that they, again, the industry is force feeding. The natural demand for new cars in Australia, so the last few years the car sales have been 1.1 million-ish. I think the actual natural demand in Australia is somewhere between 850 and 900,000, particularly with the finance the way it is. So there's 200,000 cars going out into the market, like, you know, 20% almost. Are being force-fed into the market, and they've now realised that has to stop because it's not good for the car industry, it's not good for the economy, and at the end of the day, it's also not good for customers because their resale values go to hell in a handbasket because...
Paul, you've opened up a whole set of Pandora's boxes, and there's so much there's so much more we could talk about, but unfortunately, we have run out of time.
We've got to go and get a donut. Oh, well. We've got to go and get a donut.
Feed the fat kid a donut.
Well, Macca tells me he's lost a lot of weight now. Well,
really? When did he tell you that? When did he tell you that?
Excuse me, Tess.
You're looking at him.
I have, Tess. Just those cheap glasses you got on. You can't see.
Paul, thank you for your insights again. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. And
I love talking to you guys.
And have a great time really at Bathurst.
You know, he's been to Bathurst.
Oh, it's all over, is this?
I have to wait another 360 some days.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, enjoy your weekend and have a great time.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.